for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings to our listening audience, and welcome to our program. I am John Lawrence, your host. Let me tell you about a program that will soon be taking place here at the Garten House Training Center in Hickson, Tennessee. It's our annual Holocaust Education Day that will be held on March 28, 2014. It's a seminar to educate people on the Nazi Holocaust that took place during the Second World War, and it is certainly much needed today when many young people do not seem to be taught this information about all those atrocities, genocide really, that occurred in an effort to wipe out the Jewish people. God did not allow that to happen, of course, but nonetheless 6 million Jews were exterminated by that wicked regime. Almost unbelievable. Genocide is still going on in the world, and anti-Semitism continues to be a grave problem in many parts of the world, so we need to be vigilant. We begin our program talking about who is the Jew. From a biblical perspective, we find out who are the Jewish people. We continue with a discussion of the overall extensive persecution of Jewish people in Bible times, as in the story of Esther and wicked Haman, in Roman times, in the Middle Ages, when the Crusades were taking place, where Jews were slaughtered as the Crusaders marched toward the Middle East, and then during the Inquisition, when Jewish people were a primary target, either to be converted to Catholicism or killed. We move on to the darkening clouds of the 1930s and the events that led to the rise of Adolf Hitler and his consolidation of power that led to his brutal dictatorship and to a world war, its implications for the Jewish people, and of course it was literally a catastrophe of epic proportions, the Shoah as it is known in Hebrew, which is in fact the word for catastrophic. We will have a DVD of testimonies from Holocaust survivors, that is Jewish people, who survived the Holocaust and then came to know the Lord as their personal Savior and Messiah. How did they do it, you might ask? Well, finally, we'll talk about those heroes of the Holocaust as well, the rescuers who helped Jewish people during that dark period of history, also helped them after the Holocaust to recover, and some shared the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And we will also consider the bystanders, those in the vast majority who stood by and just let it all happen without ever saying a word. The program is just $20, which includes the seminar, all the materials, and lunch. We begin at 9 in the morning, and we end at about 4 in the afternoon, and that again is Friday, March 28th, 2014. I will be teaching a portion of the program along with Brother Mark Oshman, who is our Bible teacher on this program, and Brother Aaron Broughton, our former ambassador to Israel and now coordinating our Everlasting Nation outreach ministries. We hope perhaps you can join us. Flyers are available with the registration forms, and we will be very happy to send you one. Please contact Jennifer Beneke here at IBJM, area code 423-876-8150. That is area code 423-876-8150. We have some limited overnight lodging for a few guests who attend. If you'd like to look into that, that's a little bit more cost, but not much. It's important not to forget the Holocaust. And also important not to let it happen again insofar as we can avoid it. That requires vigilance, but also remembering. The Holocaust deniers today want to say now that it never happened, and we must continue to affirm not only that it did, but to educate especially the younger generations that are not hearing about these things much anymore in our schools. The Holocaust can also be an interesting tool to lead Jewish people to their suffering Messiah. As they have suffered, so did he suffer for them. Now let's listen to our friend, Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman, as he brings today's Bible lesson.
Thank you for joining us for our radio Bible study. With this broadcast, we wrap up our five-part study of the book of Revelation. The 20th chapter of Revelation contained details relating to the aftermath of Jesus Christ's victory over the devil and his armies. God will bind the devil for a period of 1,000 years, after which he will briefly release him from custody. God committed his judgment to people who sat on thrones. Paul might have alluded to the situation when, in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he informed the congregation at Corinth, quote, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Unquote. John, in Revelation, saw the souls of those beheaded due to their testimonies for Jesus Christ. Those beings lived and reigned with the Savior for 1,000 years. Commentators have differed regarding how to interpret this setting. Did the 1,000 years depict a literal era? Furthermore, was the kingdom of Jesus Christ a literal realm or a spiritual kingdom? Dealing with the first question first, the context of Revelation chapter 20 suggested understanding the 1,000 years as a literal span of time. Throughout Revelation chapter 20, the phrase 1,000 years occurs 6 times in as many verses. In addition, a number of Bible verses imply that the kingdom in Revelation chapter 20 constituted an actual physical monarchy. In Micah chapter 4, God promised the Jews that, quote, "the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem," unquote. If the Jewish people will not receive their own sovereign after they return from captivity, then that statement in Micah will never find fulfillment. God himself will serve as their ruler. The author of Psalm 103 wrote that, quote, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all," unquote. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ will occupy that seat of authority. Both the Old and New Testaments confirm that assessment. In Psalm chapter 2, God declared, quote, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion," unquote. Within the context of that statement, the king referred to was the son that God alluded to previously in that psalm. In other words, Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 23, God proclaimed, quote, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth," unquote. This statement also alluded to Jesus Christ in his role as the Messianic Son of David. The New Testament also contained references to Jesus Christ as a king. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary, an incident described in the first chapter of Luke, the angel spoke these words about the coming Messiah. Quote, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end," unquote. Though Jesus Christ resisted attempts to make him a king throughout his earthly ministry, he knew that his Father had appointed a future kingdom for him. Not until the latter days would Jesus Christ receive that dominion. Note that in the 18th chapter of John, when Jesus Christ stood before Pontius Pilate, the Savior carefully told the Roman governor that, quote, "Now is my kingdom not from hence," unquote. Jesus Christ did not assert that he would never reign as king. He simply stated that at that time when he spoke, he was not a king. According to Revelation chapter 20, after the 1,000-year period ended, God would free the devil from confinement. Satan will gather forces to battle God and his king. After God triumphs by sending fire from heaven upon those infernal forces, an angel will cast the devil into the bottomless pit, where he will join the beast and the false prophet, who had already been there for an extended period of time. Revelation chapter 20 also described God's great white throne judgment. All those who died stood before God. He had two books opened, one of them known as the Book of Life. God judged those who came before him, based on the things written in those tomes. Those who were not in God's book of life had been people who had never received Jesus Christ as Savior while they lived. To those people, God issued a swift verdict based upon his findings. Quote, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Unquote. After those events transpired, John beheld a new heaven and a new earth. He heard a voice saying, quote, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Unquote. Those who overcame, God promised, those who overcame will inherit all things and become part of his family. However, those who committed sin will go into the lake of fire and brimstone. John also beheld the new Jerusalem that descended from heaven. God will make that city entirely from gold. The city will have 12 pearl gates, 3 gates on each side, bearing the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Angels will sit beside each portal. The new Jerusalem took upon the form of a cube, 1,500 miles in length, by 1,500 miles in width, by 1,500 miles in height. To put those dimensions in perspective, that city would occupy the approximate area from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Denver, Colorado, and from Minneapolis, Minnesota to Brownsville, Texas. As for its vertical extent, it will reach far beyond the Earth's stratosphere. The wall surrounding that city will have 12 foundations, with each one of the foundations named after one of the 12 apostles. Precious stones will comprise the materials used to build those foundations. The wall itself will stand more than 200 feet high. Jasper will comprise the building materials for that wall. The New Jerusalem will lack certain noteworthy features. Its inhabitants will not need the sun or the moon for light, since the Lamb of God will serve as their light. Night will cease to exist. The city's gates will remain open, and, quote, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Unquote. In the final chapter of Revelation, God saw a river whose water gave life, a river flowing from God's throne. A tree of life stood on either side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, one for each month. The leaves of that tree served for the healing of the nations. Other conditions will prevail during that time. God will lift his curse on the human race, since all who dwell in the New Jerusalem will serve him. Night will no longer exist. Those in the city will reign with God forever. Toward the end of the book of Revelation, John heard a voice proclaiming these words, quote, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book." Unquote. Again, he sought to worship the angel accompanying him. Again, the angel refused John's homage. Furthermore, the angel told John not to seal those things written in the book of Revelation. He added, quote, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." John heard these words of caution. Quote, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Unquote. The book of Revelation closed with an invitation and a warning. Here's the invitation. Quote, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Unquote. Here is the warning. People should not add or detract from the matters contained in the book of Revelation. If they do, God says he will judge them. Thank you for listening to our radio Bible study about the book of Revelation. We pray that God may continue to bless his word as it goes forth.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.